Let's go. We've been talking all summer long about authority and faith and dominion and exercising authority. And so I kind of want to pick up where I left off last week. Mark 11:22. It says, Jesus answered, have faith in God. Verse 23, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for him. Now listen, when it comes to moving mountains in your life, the believing and the saying come before the seeing. You have to believe in your heart and speak with your mouth before it's ever manifested in the natural. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, when do we believe that we have received? When we pray. When you ask, you believe that you receive before you ever see it in the natural, before it ever manifests or there's any evidence in the natural. And the glorious thing about that is that you can believe and receive right in the middle of all kinds of opposition. Right in the middle of all kinds of adverse circumstances. When everything is going wrong, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. Belief is of the heart. And you can believe and receive and speak in the face of nothingness. You know, last week I had I told Scott Locke's story and had him come up and he shared a little bit and played the guitar for us, something the doctor said he would never do again. Glory to God. The doctor said it's physically impossible for you to ever play the guitar again. And he did what for us last week? He played the guitar, glory to God. While his fingers were still in that bowl, severed from his body beside his bed. You remember? How many of you know that's some pretty adverse circumstances? The doctor's saying there's nothing we can do. We're not even willing to try. We can't sew them on. If we sewed them on, it'd be useless. You just have to have them reamputated. We're not even going to try. It's useless. Give up. In the middle of that, they still chose to believe. Belief is a choice. And you can choose to believe no matter what's going on around you with no physical evidence to back it up. Belief is a choice. Whenever God or anyone speaks to you, you have a choice of whether or not you're going to believe them. I just told you there's a guardian class on 11:9. I was like, that don't sound right when it came out of my mouth. 11:19. Now, you can believe me or not, but I'm telling you it's going to happen. I just told you there's a parenting class that night. You can believe me or not, but it's going to happen. They're going to be there. How do I know that? How do you know that? Thank you. They believe me. They said, for those of you who are watching by live stream, Hebrews 11:1. We looked at this last week ever so briefly. This is the last repeat scripture. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. How can you be certain of what you don't see? If we don't see it, how can we be certain of it? Because we believe the one who said he gave it to us. We know his character. Listen, I've walked with God over 50 years now. I'm almost embarrassed to say that, but not really. I'm 56. I don't remember exactly when I got born again, 4 or 5, somewhere in there, preschool for sure. And I can tell you, in all of those 50 years, he is not a man that he should lie. Whatever my father has spoken to me has come to pass. It may not come when I thought it was coming. It may not come how I thought it was coming. But my father has never lied to me. I have tested and proved his character over 50 years of walking with him. We can be sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see because we know the character of the speaker. The Moffat's translation of Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for and convinced of what we do not see. We're convinced of what we do not yet see. Why? Because we know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that he is able. Glory to God. That's what the Apostle Paul said about him. He said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able. Glory to God. Are you persuaded that he is not only able but willing? Romans 4:16, NIV. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it might be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. I want to look at that in the Message Bible. The Message just says things in ways sometimes we understand better. He said this. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way. And then simply embracing him and what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who've never heard of them. For Abraham is the father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backwards. But he is our faith father. Oh my goodness, there's so many things. We could spend the rest of the night on this one verse. That's why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God. Listen to me tonight. When it comes to your life, when it comes to the things that you have need of from God, when it comes to the things that God has promised you, the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on you trusting God. Selah. Pause and think on these things. In my Message Bible, it says the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God. That's what it says, yes. On those 10 words, the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God. Those 10 words answer 1,000 questions. But why? But why not? But this, but that, but not this, but not that. Why? Because the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on us trusting God. You haven't seen it? That just means it's not done. Glory to God. What is the key to getting whatever it is that God promised you? Trusting God. That is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God in his way and then simply embracing him in what he does. God's promise arrives as pure gift. Glory to God. He blesses us because he's a good father. He is a good, good father. And because of that, he bestows on us good gifts and good blessing. And that's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. How many of you know in the Old Covenant, you had to be Jewish to get in on the good stuff? And I would exclude, I would guess all of us or almost all of us, if we had to do it that way now. But God didn't just want it for them. He wanted it for us. So yes, God came and he cut covenant with Abraham. And because of that, his natural descendants are blessed. But Abraham also believed God first. He believed God first. And God counted it to him as righteousness. So those of us who believe God can get in on it too. Not just natural descendants, but spiritual children through faith and believing. The reason God cut covenant with Abraham to begin with was because Abraham believed him. I could stand here all night and say the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God. The fulfillment, until I want to say it until you get it, but I got a lot more going on here. But the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Scott's fingers, as they laid in that bowl, they were essentially dead. They were cut off from life. They were headed for the incinerator. But God. God calls those things that are dead back to life. Glory to God. Woo! If that don't trip your trigger, your wood's wet. Let's look at it in the message. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. How many of you know he was a liar? He told him his wife was his sister, so he was a chicken. He was a liar. Sarah, his wife, she was a laugher and a liar. She laughed when God said, you're going to have a child. And he took them and made something out of it. That ought to give the rest of us hope. You can even be a laugher and a liar and a whatever I said Abraham was. Chicken. And still get the things God has for you. Glory to God. He got God's attention, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. Listen, Abraham was first named father, and then he became a father. He was named father. He was called father. God spoke to him that he would be a father before he ever was in the natural. When God said to him, you are the father of many nations, he had no children. Sarai, his wife, was unable to bear children. They had gone all this time without kids. And God said, guess what, dude? You're a dad. Congratulations. And not only that, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. How could he know that was true? He just had to choose to believe before he ever saw. Ha ha ha. He said, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father, and then later he became a father. Why? Because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life, and with a word, make something out of nothing. Oh, my. so rich. It's so rich. Abraham dared to trust God. He dared to trust God. I double dog dare you to trust God, to believe him that he would do what he said he would do. Abraham dared to trust God, to do what only God could do, which is raise the dead to life and with a word make something out of nothing. Oh, my. That is what God specializes in, making something out of nothing. Making something out of nothing. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now faith is. Faith is now. We talked just briefly last week, hope is always future. How many of you know if you have no hope, you're never going to have any faith? Hope is good, but hope is always future. I believe God is going to heal me is what? Hope. Why? Because it's future. I believe I have it now. It's working in my body now. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. I've got it now. It's working in me now. It's affecting my body now. It's changing things on my behalf now. Faith is now. Faith is now. Now faith is. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Now, my daughter has a good phone, but she wanted a new one for Christmas this year. I don't know why. Everybody always feels like they got the newest one. Have to have the newest one. Reminds me of that commercial where you become your dad, you know? The dad had to flip phone, and he said, why would I get a new one? This one's not broken. Nonetheless, my daughter has a good phone, right? And all of a sudden this week, she managed to shatter it. I almost wondered if she was pulling a Robert. Back in the early days of the church, we used to tease him. You know, he'd say, Pastor, I think we need a new one of these, and then all of a sudden the old one would get broken. He came into the office one day. We'd rented a backhoe for something, and he was out doing something, and he came in the office, and he's like, Pastor, you mentioned that you'd like a new sign out front of the church. He'd run that backhoe right over the sign we had, destroyed that little puppy. And so, you know, we used to tease him, you know, whatever he wanted, the old whatever got broken. So I almost wondered if my daughter took a page out of his book, but I'm sure she didn't. I'm sure she didn't. Relatively sure. No, I'm sure. Relatively. Nonetheless, my daughter just managed to shatter the screen on her phone. So we contacted the company, and they sent out an email saying her replacement phone is on the way. So what did we do? Did we pace the floor and worry about it? Now, I know they said they sent that out, but I just don't know if it's true. How do I know? How do I know if that phone got sent? I can't see it. I don't have it in my hand. They said they sent it, but how do I know it? I don't know. How am I ever going to know? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to know. No, I didn't do that. They sent an email saying the phone is on the way. What did I do? I believed them. And because of that, I texted my daughter and I said, baby, you got a new phone. I acted on what I believed, whether or not I saw it. I didn't know it by my senses. How did I know she had a new phone? Because they told me she did, right? because they told me that she had a new phone and it was here. It was being sent. That email gave us the assurance that that phone was hers. It gave us the confirmation that it had been granted to us. It gave us the title deed, the proof, if you will, though the actual phone was not yet in our possession. And we acted on that confirmation and told her it was hers, though we hadn't seen it yet. How many of you know that's how faith works? We got the confirmation. We got the word. We got the word spoken right from the mouth of our Father that what he said is true. What he said we can have, we can have. He promised, and he is not a man that he should lie. We have the assurance. We have the word, the confirmation, the title deed. It's God sending you an email saying, you got it, baby. You got it, baby. Not that that one from the phone company said, you got it, baby, but you know what I mean. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. When Scott's fingers were in that bowl of ice, they believed that if the doctor would just get them back on, God would heal them. Without ever seeing it, without ever personally experiencing it, they believed. They chose to believe. Excuse me. It's going to take more than that to make me shut up. What are our five senses? Touching, tasting, smelling, seeing, and hearing. Faith perceives as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. Before you can ever touch it, before you can ever see it, before you can ever hear it, before you can ever taste it, before you can ever smell it, you got it. You got it. It's real, even though it's not yet revealed to our senses. It's a real fact. It's a real fact. Scott and Jessica knew it was a real fact. If they could get those fingers back on, God would heal them. Even though they had never seen it, couldn't feel it, couldn't experience it. When we believe his written word, it's ours now. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed yet to the senses. Verse 2. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them, and they obtained a good report. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see, listen, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Genesis 1:1. God made something out of nothing by speaking into the nothingness. Are you with me? God made something out of nothing by speaking into the nothingness, and what he said became. Just because he said so, without using anything already there to bring it to pass. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Those words are bohu and tohu, tohu, tohu and bohu in the original language. Topsy-turvy. It was all messed up. In one version it says, now the earth became formless and empty. I have a hard time believing God created something in confusion. But nonetheless, God created something, and somehow through the passage of time, it got all messed up. The earth was a mess. It was just a deep pit of nothingness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And into the darkness, into that confusion, into that deep nothingness, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Listen, it's not like the sun was there. There was nothing. The sun is there because God said, let there be light. He made the light out of nothingness. Do you remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? He drew out of the washing pots just plain water, and he said, take it to the governor of the feast. And somewhere between the time he said go and the time they got to the governor of the feast, that water became wine without even a grape. There was no reason that water should have turned to wine. There was nothing in the natural that would have made that water wine. What turned the water to wine? The word that Jesus spoke. What caused light to be where there had never been light? The word of God. He spoke into the nothingness and something became. Glory to God. Woo! Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Message. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Did you hear that? When everything was hopeless, without hope, impossible, not gonna happen in the natural. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Glory to God. Woo! Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw and what he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Listen, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. What a testimony. What a testimony to the faith of Abraham, that though everything was hopeless, he believed anyway. What's the next word? Deciding. How could he believe anyway? Even though everything was hopeless, how could he believe? Because he decided. He decided to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but what God said he would do. How can you believe in the middle of a hopeless situation? Because you decide to. You decide to. Abraham had to decide to live, not on the basis of what he saw, but just believing what God said. And because he decided, he got it. Belief is a choice. You can choose to believe what God said, or you can choose not to believe what God said. It's a choice. It's a choice. Honey, get my wallet out. This is where the big stuff is. This is where the big stuff is hiding. I just told you all my secrets, now I gotta move it. Oh, that was a little bit. Hold on. Anyway, can you put all that back together? Yeah, now he knows where my stash is. It's my leftover birthday money, which I sewed. And then I told you what happened. I emptied my wallet on somebody in a service, and before I got out the door, somebody else had emptied theirs, and theirs was bigger than mine. So it worked. Now, if I say to Aldo and Pam over here, I'm going to give you this $100. How many of you know they have a choice whether they're going to believe me or not? Do you believe me? You should. Because I am not a woman that I should lie. But how many of you know he could have said, I don't know, Pastor Rhonda, you might give it to me. I got it. You might not give it to me. I just don't know. Well, how many of you know that lessened my motivation to get it to him? Sometimes I wonder how that makes God feel. Well, I know God said that, but never really can tell if he's going to do what he said. If you said that about me, I'd be offended. If Aldo said, you know, sometimes, you know, that Rhonda, I don't know. Sometimes she keeps her word, sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes you can count on what she says, sometimes not. How many of you know that'd be offensive? But people say that kind of stuff about God all the time. You never know what he's going to do. No, he said what he was going to do. He said what he was going to do. And he's going to do what he said he was going to do. Because he's not a man that he should lie. But you have to decide whether or not you're going to believe it. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. No wonder Sarah laughed when they said, you're going to have a child. I'm sure she was thinking, buddy, you ain't been around here for a long time. Because that's what she went in the tent and said, shall my Lord and I have pleasure after, you know, at our age? Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his own body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded. Oh, Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. How many of you know he's got the power to back up his words? We talked earlier in the year about the difference between authority and power. How many of you know he's got both the authority and the power? He's got the authority and he's got the power to back it up. And he's perfectly willing to use it on your behalf. The message. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades. Listen, they've been married forever. Abraham's 100. Sarah's, you know, what, 80-something when God first came? 90-something? 90? Somewhere in there. Close to 90. How many of you know they couldn't have a kid when they were young? For decades they'd been trying. When everything worked properly. And nothing came of it. And now that they were beyond the time of everything working properly. Now. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. Sure, he was ready for God. Anyway, we'll let it go. No, shut up, Rhonda. Shut up. Just shut up. Okay. Okay. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. Sure, he was sure that God would make good on what he had said. Glory to God. Next verse. Let's move on, please. No, that can't be right. Hold on a second. That's got to be the wrong thing. Oh, yeah, that was the end. That was as far as I wanted to go. Okay. God makes something out of nothing when we believe. He doesn't need any raw materials. He made something out of nothing. I wish there's things we're going to share about as a family and rejoice. God is still in the someday soon, but not now, in the making something out of nothing business. He made something out of nothing when we believe. Luke 1:26, this is the story of the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. We're coming into that season. Now, in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. They had never been together. She had never been with a man. And he came to her and he said, "Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women." But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. Verse 31, and listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great, imminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end. Verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, that's impossible. Listen. Anyway, all these things are flying through my brain, Rhonda, just focus. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband. I have no intimacy with anyone. How can that be? But I want you to notice she didn't say, that's impossible. It'll never be. She was like, how can that be? But she wasn't like, I don't believe it. How many of you know there's a difference between doubt and unbelief? Doubt makes you go, how in the world could that be? Unbelief says, I choose not to believe. Doubting Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can see him myself and put my fingers in the holes in his hand and thrust my fist into his side. He said, I won't believe. What is that? That's unbelief. How many of you know that's different than doubt? Doubt, you know, sometimes God says stuff that'll tilt our brain. And we're like, what? But your reaction to that is everything. She said, how can that be? Since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband. Verse 35. Then the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, that offspring which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, just in case you need some confirmation, Mary, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. He worked a twofer just so Mary would know. Listen to this verse. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. Nothing is ever impossible. It is not possible to be impossible. When the doctor says it's impossible, you know what? It's possible. When the accountant says it's not possible, you know what? It's possible. When any expert says it's not possible, you know what? It is possible if it came from God. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. It's not possible to be impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. If he says something to you, what do you know? It's possible. Even if it looks impossible. Even if it feels impossible. Even if the doctors say it's impossible and you hear those words, you know what? It's possible. God's words, when he speaks them to us, are containers. And in those containers is the power to bring it to pass. When he said to Mary, you're going to have a baby, those words contained the power to bring it to pass. All she had to do was yield to it. All she had to do was yield to it. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Verse 38. How did Mary respond? How do we know she wasn't in unbelief? And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Listen, when God has promised you something and you don't see how it could come to pass, it could even be something that's naturally impossible. If you'll respond the same way she did, even though you don't know how, you don't know how that thing could possibly be. But you just say, "Father, be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done unto me according to your word." Glory to God. What was she doing? She was saying, "Okay, bring it on. I believe you. And I'm ready. Be it done unto me according to thy word." And if you do that, if that's your response, then you're going to get the same response from God she did. Luke 1:45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Verse 37, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." And verse 45, "And blessed is she," or "he, that believes." Blessed are you when you believe it's not possible to be impossible. Because when you believe his words, you get verse 45. "And blessed are you that believe, for there shall." That word "shall" is the strongest word in the English language. "For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." How many of you know the Lord loves to come in, show up, and show out? Glory to God. He loves to put on a performance of his power, of his goodness, of his mercy, and of his grace. He likes to show off on your behalf. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And blessed are you that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told us from the Lord." I won some serious battles on these scriptures. We're going to talk about it someday soon. I can't tell everybody's business yet. Luke 1:46. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." How can she say that? How can she say, "From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed"? She didn't got no baby yet. What made her able to say that? She believed. Though it wasn't in her senses yet. She couldn't touch him. She couldn't smell him. You ever smelled a newborn baby? They smell so good. She couldn't touch him. She couldn't hear him. She couldn't see him. She couldn't smell him. But she believed. But she believed. Verse 49. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." What was she doing? She was praising God in advance because she believed him. She was praising him in advance because she believed. Do you remember back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Pastor and I have both preached sermons out of this over the years. There were three armies coming against the people of God. In the natural, they were outnumbered, and even these seasoned men of war knew this was an impossible situation. So what did they do? They set themselves to seek God. How many of you know that's always a good thing to do when something's not going right? they set themselves to seek God. And when they did, God spoke here in verse 17. He said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. It's a gift. It's purely a gift. If we had to earn the blessings of God, if we had to earn the things God says are ours, we'd all be doomed. He gives them to liars and laughers and chickens purely as a gift. You shall not need to fight in this battle. They had three armies and some other people with them coming against them. He said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. They began to make preparations. 2 Chronicles 20:20. If you don't have it back that far, I can read it. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. I'm here to tell you tonight, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now listen, they began to praise before they ever saw the answer. When they were leaving their home camp, they set the praisers ahead of the army. Now, worship team, I don't know how many of you'd like to be in that worship team. You got an unarmed worship team out in front of the army, headed out to meet three armies coming at you with very real swords and spears and shields and intending to kill you. Now, you have to understand, if God doesn't come through, they're about to die a horrible death. I mean, this isn't like we do war now. Stay back 100 miles and lob missiles. This is mano a mano with swordo and spiro and shieldo. Spanglish, which they did not have. You understand, if God doesn't come through, they're about to get chopped up alive until they're dead. They're going to take that sharp implement and run it through my body. Maybe cut my head off, really, for real, if God don't come through. I guarantee you those praisers were praising. They were playing games with every fiber of their being. That praise came up from their toes. You understand? I praise you with everything I have. Woo! I mean, I guarantee you every fiber of their being was in that. It's the word halal. Halal means I'm crazy praising. I mean, I am going crazy. I am going crazy in praise of my God. They weren't out there, you know, for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. They weren't doing that. That word halal was used one time when David pretended to be insane. He was yelling and slapping himself, and he allowed drool to go down his beard, and he scratched the doorpost with his nails, trying to convince an enemy king he was insane. The Hebrew word for that is halal. I guarantee you these singers were going crazy. Every fiber of their being was in that praise. Because they needed him to come, or else. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? Proud people don't get answers in miracles like this. You got to be willing to do whatever is necessary to get whatever God said you can have. And if it makes me look foolish, to fall on my knees before my God and say, I believe you! With no evidence. Except that I believe you. You got to be willing to do whatever it is you have to do. Let's see what happened when they did. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, they were crazy praising. And when they began to sing and to praise, what happened? The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Who ever heard of such a thing? Three armies going out to fight one enemy. All they had to do was hang on, and they obviously would have won. But God. But God. He caused such confusion that one army rose up against another one. And then after they finished all them off, then they started fighting each other. You couldn't make that up. There is no possible way they could have seen a way out of that situation. But when they came to the end of all their ways, God's ways are just begun. God has 1,000 ways where we can see not one. And when we come to the end of all our ways, his ways are just begun. Glory to God. What an amazing thing that happened there. I gotta hurry. Verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness with them singers out front, glory to God, you know they were going crazy. They looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Not only did he miraculously deliver them out, he brought them out with gold and silver and abundantly blessed. So much so, it took them 3 days to carry away all the loot. Now that's a plan. Now that's deliverance. Glory to God. Woo! I'm finishing. Romans 4:19 out of the Amplified. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Abraham grew strong in faith as he gave praise and glory to God. And he did that before he ever saw the answer manifested. God spoke. And Abraham believed what God said, with nothing in the natural to bolster his faith. And then when Abraham, out of that belief, began to praise and give glory to God for doing what he said that he would do, long before he saw the answer with his eyes. The Bible said he grew strong and empowered in faith as he gave glory to God in advance of the answer. When in 2 Chronicles 20, they set themselves to praise first before they saw the defeat of the army. As they began to praise, then God acted. Then God set an ambushment against those three armies. Do you understand? Faith will cause you to praise first before you ever see, just because you believe. So, stand up. How many of you have something you've seen in the Word of God or that has been spoken to your heart that you still need in your life? I'm assuming we're all working on something. I want you to think about that thing that you've been promised. Then I want you to think about what God said about that thing. So everybody got their thing? Everybody got what God said about that thing. If it's sickness, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. If it's a financial need, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever it is, I want you to think about what God said about that thing. Now I want you to choose to believe what God said, because it's just that simple. It's just a choice. So I want you to, on purpose, choose to believe what God said. In the face of adverse circumstances, in the face of fingers still laying in the bowl, in the case of impotence in the body, God said they were going to have a son and they chose to believe. So I want you to just choose to believe what God said. I'm going to give you a minute. Choose. Now, out of that belief, I want you to praise and give glory to him in advance. Hallelujah.